Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. A real pleasure to have you here live worldwide on Close Up Radio Live. A real pleasure, as always. Also a pleasure for us to spotlight Laura Chalfant of Energy Freedom Circle. You know, a near-death experience as a child is what propelled Laura of Energy Freedom Circle to really study the transition between life and death. She researched death and dying and how other cultures approach the event. Laura offers hands-on healing and long-distance sessions. And during the pandemic, many energy healers learned that you could be very effective doing long-distance healing sessions over Zoom or other phone sessions. And she found that combining energy healing with Qigong training helps clients heal faster by strengthening their energy systems so they can take charge of their own health. Qigong is a classical Chinese lineage system that is over 4,000 years old, which is amazing, 4,000 years old. It's a medicine-based exercise system that helps build, move, and transform energy to support the healing of organs and all systems throughout your body, mind, and emotions. Laura has studied body intuitive with microbiologists and Chinese medical doctors who developed protocols for COVID, long COVID, and negative effects from COVID vaccines. Laura offers individual distance and in-person sessions and a number of pre-recorded Qigong video training series. Her signature beginning Qigong training series, the Yin Yang Medical Qigong, is a series of 36 recorded videos and 12 audio meditations that also teaches the internal aspects of Qigong. Along with this training comes two free practice sessions a week where you can actually practice with a group in which Laura is available to answer questions. Now, before we welcome her on, I can tell you that I was personally introduced to the wonderfulness of Qigong, and that was because of the fact that I got a chance to interview a Qigong master on PBS television nationwide at WNET 13 in New York City. And I was introduced to it and fell in love with it. And the fact that Laura really focuses on it is very, very exciting. Let's welcome her from Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. Laura, welcome to Close Up Radio Live. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here. It's been such a wonderful experience onboarding onto your program, so I'm excited about sharing me and what I have to offer with you.
As I mentioned, that you're the founder of Energy Freedom Circle, and you offer the in-person and remote epigenetic healing sessions. And after a near-death experience as a child, which again was a part of your life, you had been fascinated with death and dying, spiritual transformation, which I think is fascinating and sort of sets the story for our listeners. But as a cultural anthropologist, you studied how all cultures approach death. And during your studies, you had this existential crisis when you realized that we really won't know until we cross the bridge. It's fascinating work that you do. Tell us about the work of a cultural anthropologist and your studies as a cultural anthropologist. And what is it about this work that fascinated you and inspired you enough to where you really wanted to super focus on it?
Well, because of the near-death experience I had, I was always connected with something bigger. And I was always fascinated by what happens with the near-death experience or the process of dying. And I'd Before I went back to school, I was living in a yoga ashram, and we were studying more Eastern traditions, and I was interested in Tibetan Buddhism and other systems that had ideas, ideologies of reincarnation and other ideas. There's, you know, there were many cultural ideas about what happens when we die. And part of my focus was on bereavement, which is another aspect of death and dying, because there are many, many bereavement rituals throughout cultures. And so I was in an existential crisis when I was studying death and dying and bereavement in my anthropological research. I looked at cultures in Africa and in Papua New Guinea and Asian cultures and the Jewish traditions in death and dying. And as I was reading and researching, my father was actually dying at the time, so it was very near and dear to my heart. And I just couldn't come up with any particular theory that was cross-cultural and cross-generation that had like one idea of what really happens when we die. I had some belief systems developed already from my life experiences, but when I was studying, I couldn't really come up with any particular experience until I started studying with a professor of mine who was able to guide me towards existentialism and the idea that experiences, like when you have experiences that are cross-cultural or cross-generational or cross, sexes, you can assume that it is true. So it's a different, social science is different than regular science. And so when I started looking at near-death experiences, I realized that near-death experiences was something that many, many cultures, people across many cultures were able, they had very, very similar experiences. And so that put my heart at ease because I did have a near-death experience that was similar to other experiences that I had read about.
That's amazing. Thanks for sharing that and being so open and honest and real, because I think, when people do that, it really connects with those who might be going through something similar and who might be experiencing something similar, and they don't know really how to express themselves and how to connect. These studies led you to the existential crisis, as it's described, the second in your life, the first being, of course, the near-death experience as a child. That propelled you to really continue, as you're describing, this research and search for what happens when we cross over from this life. Tell us about that. And just for my own edification, did you always or have you ever feared death? Is death something that haunted you, you feared? Do you no longer fear it? Did some of this process that you've gone through help relieve some of that? Tell us about all of this, that existential crisis, the search, what you've learned. And a lot of people have a fear of death, but a lot of people won't even discuss it, whether it's their own or anybody else's. It's not something people just randomly discuss. I think the two things people don't discuss at the dinner table are death and colonoscopies. Those two are just not discussed. So how has it all evolved for you through the life experience?
Wow, that's a great question and a big question. Yes, I guess I've been tracking my fear of death. I tracked it for many years. I think I've different periods of life I've sunk into being afraid of death or exploring I'm just going to open up. In shamanism, they call it dismemberment. So it's kind of like this dropping into the shadow side. That's a Jungian psychological term, and dropping into the darkness, because I had some experiences in my childhood that were painful. And so through psychological awareness and a lot of personal growth work, I allowed myself to drop into some really dark areas rather than trying to ease my pain through medications. And through those experiences of dropping deeper into discovering my own suffering and discovering layers of consciousness, and by discovering my own suffering, I started tapping into the suffering of humanity, because I think that, as human beings we suffer, there's a pretty pretty deep level of suffering in human beings. And so that understanding of that human beings suffer, I think it's a Buddhist term, it's like we all suffer, and how do we move out of suffering. And I think I realized that suffering is in the mind at some point through a lot of meditation, that the suffering that I felt was in my mind and in the world at the same time. But I couldn't do anything about the suffering in the world, but I could do something about the suffering in my own mind. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, that's a very powerful realization, understanding, appreciation, and to come to that determination that you can deal with and work through and try to handle the suffering in your own mind, but you can't necessarily take on all of the world's problems. And if you're somebody who's a caretaker mm-hmm. type and somebody who automatically wants to try to do that and smooth out things and make the world a softer, sweeter place, and believe me, I know what you're talking about from firsthand experience, you got to just sometimes realize, well, you can't always do it all, because then you sort of stunt your own growth and your life keeps going by and the clock keeps ticking. You got to focus on self and enjoy. You got to put the oxygen mask on you before you can put it on others. And I've had to learn that myself, because I always would be on an airplane saying, oh, that sounds greedy and selfish. What do you mean, put the mask on me first, then help the others? We were raised to help others first and then us. But yeah, everybody has to put the oxygen mask on themselves first so they can have the oxygen in order to help others. One of the things that you discovered, and I discovered, it's about 12 years ago now, when I was actually hosting a national PBS special with a Qigong master. His name is Lee Holden. He's out of California. He had a series of specials, and I was tasked with hosting. We were actually in the studio in our exercise outfits, and we were doing Qigong, and that was the first. I heard a little bit about it, and then when he was demonstrating it and how it's really balance and breathing and being in touch with self and all of these incredible things, it's extraordinary. Now, what you've been able to do is pair Qigong with remote healing, which is really something quite special. Tell us how you do that and what happens when you pair the two.
I think I just wanted to say something about the last question real quick. One of the things, and this relates to Qigong, one of the things that I've found is that, you know, we have a light inside of us that's so powerful, and we're connected to something so much bigger. And when we're able to connect with, I'm supposed to say the divinity or the self, our soul, rather than our mind, the experience of living is completely different. And through the practice of Qigong, there's some very simple exercises that allow you to tap into the chi from the earth and the chi from the universe to clear your mind and to be able to center yourself in that something deeper, the something deeper of who we are. And then to answer your question about combining Qigong with energy medicine, I find that my clients who study Qigong and really practice, so in my Yin Yang Medical Qigong program, people have been studying the form for a number of years, and they keep getting more and more and more out of it because we're working with all of the internal aspects of Qigong. And when you start to transform your inner energy system, you're able to feel deeper into your own body, into your own cellular structure, into your own thinking patterns. So you start to access more of who you are. And so when we work with energy medicine, I'm very, very intuitive, and I feel deeply. I've been touching people for over 40 years, so I feel deeply into the cellular structure and into the DNA and into, all of the energy systems in the body and mind. So it's just this very sort of synchronistic experience that I'm having, very intuitive. And my clients who practice Qigong can feel also, they can sense into their own system. So the healing goes much deeper, and there's a synchronicity in a partnership between the healer and the healee, because we're working together to unpack what's going on in their system.
Mm-hmm. Which is important. Yeah, that's important. It's really, and to again combine the two is extraordinary. How do the remote healing sessions involve the epigenetic work? And maybe even before explaining how the remote healing sessions involve it, tell us what epigenetic work actually is, so our listeners have a good understanding, appreciation for what that is.
Okay. I think a lot of people have heard of epigenetics at this point. So epigenetics, what it means, epi means on top of, and genetics means genes. So it's the markers, protein molecules on top of the genes that turn the genes on and off. And there's a lot of ways that you can work with your epigenome. There's a lot, if you're working, you exercise and you eat healthy and you have healthy relationships. And, that's something that's well known, I think, at this point. But with Body Intuitive and Body Talk, we work epigenetically. We work right down into the genes, and we work with the markers on the genes to turn the genes on and off. And when genes are locked in epigenetically, they're locked in for a reason. And I see a lot of people who have done a lot of therapy, a lot of personal growth work, and they're still having specific issues that they haven't been able to clear from their system. So if there's an epigenetic lock, it generally comes from either childhood trauma or ancestral trauma. So there's acquired markers or there's ancestral markers. And the types of trauma that lock in, lock the epigenetic markers in, that either keep the genes turned on that should be turned off, or the genes turned off that should be turned on. The markers come on through traumas. It's like the big traumas are war, poverty, starvation, and emotional trauma, rape, things like that, that we find in the ancestral lineage, but also in this lineage. And I see a lot with cultures that have gone through war and just some horrible events in their lives.
You've spent 5 years living at Kripalu Yoga Ashram. Tell us about that experience and what it was all about and how it even shaped your practice today. That sounds really like it was an extraordinary and very impactful opportunity for you. 5 years.
It was very powerful. I had just gotten divorced. My son and I moved there. I had a 4-year-old son. We moved there together. And it was a small community. There were 60 people that lived there. And we practiced yoga and meditation and pranayama, or breathing exercises, every morning. And in the evening, we did what's called satsang. Satsang means living in the company of truth. And we read scriptures. We'd read Hindu scriptures, and we'd chant mantras, Hindu mantras. Like Om Namah Shivaya or Hare Krishna, or there are different names of different gods and goddesses in Hindu mythology. And so we do that every morning and every night. And I had a fair amount of trauma when I was a teenager, and my marriage was not so great. And I was pretty shut down from those experiences. But being at Kripalu and practicing yoga, so most people, like now, they look at yoga as exercise. But when I lived at Kripalu Yoga Ashram, which isn't really the same anymore. There's the Kripalu Yoga in Massachusetts. The practices aren't the same. It was really Kundalini awakening exercises. So it was exercises to open up your chakras and open up the energy movement in your system. And I had some very, very powerful experiences feeling my chakras. That's when I started to be able to feel internally what was going on, or like where I was blocked and where the energy was moving, and how powerful the chakras were, and started having these Kundalini awakening experiences. And I would say it's not an easy path. being on the path of waking up your Kundalini is not an easy path, because everything that is blocked in your system needs to be purified. And so during the purification process, it can be difficult, and you can go back down into the shadow side. So it becomes this experience of dropping in and then having these like ecstatic experiences. So there was a lot of ecstasy, a lot of peak experiences, and then a lot of dropping deeply into dark places. And I think I always knew on some deep intuitive level that was part of the process of becoming enlightened and becoming a fully awakened human being. So it didn't really bother me that much. I mean, it did, but I still had a level of awareness of what was happening at the time. But, it was such a beautiful community of people, and I'm still in relationship with a lot of people who live there. And my son is also in relationship with the children that live there. And it was a very profound experience because we were kind of... We were not in like living in the worldly worldly life. You know, we didn't have television there. We were not really in touch with the news so much, but we were able to have time and space for our spiritual growth. And I always am very, very grateful for that time that I had in my life because it taught me so much and propelled me to, you know, go back to college and study anthropology and continue in my studies. Since I lived at Kapalo, I studied Tai Chi and Transcendental Meditation, Rolfing, Structural Integration, and Pilates and Continuum, and many, many different types of Qigong and many different types of healing work. So it woke me up to all of this. I didn't even know what a massage was before I went to Kapalo. So it was a very powerful experience.
Obviously, you love what you do, don't you?
I do. I've created the life of my dreams. That's for sure.
That's a great way to put it, too. And I like the fact that the company is called Energy Freedom Circle. How did you come up with the name?
Well, I think I went through a lot of different names. I think that what I wanted for people is I wanted them to feel free inside through being able to touch and tap into their own energy system. I think that the energy system model, especially, Qigong I've studied, I haven't studied acupuncture, but I've studied a lot of other different types of energy medicines, and when we're accessing our energy system, it's called more of a bottom up level of healing. So it's body based. The energy system is body based, but it's also universally based. It's like chi. We're looking at chi. Chi is everywhere. Chi is, running through our meridians. We have energy sources. We have our dantian, so we have a lower energy center, middle energy center, and upper energy center. And our whole cellular structure is when you break everything down, it's energy. We can't really find. You can't really go down and find like one physical structure that's our body. It doesn't happen. We're energy, And so I feel like when we can tap into our own energy and we can really source it, we can really source the energy from the earth and the energy from the universe and connect with others on that subtle energy level, I think we feel more peaceful. I think we feel more ourselves. Because when we're not grounded in our bodies, when we're not grounded in our energies, I think we're stuck in our heads. And we're stuck in our thoughts. Our thoughts are going on and on and on. So I'm actually teaching a practice now that activates the second brain. And the second brain is in it's the gut brain. And there's actually more neural networks in the gut brain than there are in the head brain. There's more neurons in the gut brain. So when we can like strengthen our gut brain, which is our metabolism, we can work with our brain. We can, you know, like we have better memory. We have better access to our past and access to our genetic material. So, you know, Qigong is, you know, especially when you're working with medical Qigong, it's an ancient system that's been around for, you know, it's a lineage system. Some Qigong is a lineage system, so it's they've been working with this for thousands of years. So back to why I call it energy freedom circles, I feel like if we can access our energy, then we... You know, there's a lot of freedom in that. There's a lot of freedom in letting go of analytical thinking, analyzing everything, and just stepping into sourcing and feeling energy.
That's what it's all about. If folks want to learn more, what's the best way they can do that? What is the best website for people to go to?
My website is laurachalfontqigong.com. So you can go on that. You can also do Laura Chalfont Qigong. We'll go directly to laurachalfontqigong.com. And, you know, I have all of my programs on there. I have a lot of Qigong training. Training that I recommend people go to is the Yin Yang Medical Qigong if you're a beginner in Qigong, because it's a foundational training in supporting you to be able to feel your own energy.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
it's obvious that this is something you're well versed in and you really love, and your clients benefit from greatly. It was a pleasure chatting with you, Laura, and thanks for being so real and so open and conversational and inspiring, and I wish you continued blessing and joy, and hopefully we'll get a chance to maybe hear some case studies, testimonials, success stories, and chat some more down the line. But this was a real pleasure, and I hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you, Laura.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. It's been a great pleasure. I've been looking forward to this, and I would love to do. I would love to share some case studies. Yeah, quite a few.
I'm sure you have a lot. Yeah, absolutely. You be well, and we'll chat again soon. And again, thanks so much for joining us. The half hours go by so fast. So hopefully we'll chat more. You be well, and thanks again for joining us, Laura.
Thank you, Jim. Bye bye.
Bye-bye now. Laura Chalfont of Energy Freedom Circle. Isn't she extraordinary? Absolutely. We really appreciate her being here. And we thank you for being here as well, your host, Jim Masters. Thank you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. I'll be back in just a minute with another fascinating guest from around the world, celebrated right here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, take care, be well, and have a great day. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.